Okay, good morning, everybody. Well, it's difficult to do the normal things that we do at this time. Mirz Hashem, the zechus of our learning, our tshuva, our tefillah, our tzedakah, will help bring about gulos and yeshuas. So the shiur today is called the Moon's Argument with Hashem. And it's a well-known Chazal that Rashi elaborated on by Gemara and Chulin. So I'd like to take it up. So basically, the Psukim say it's in this past week's parsha, and it's actually relevant to today's Rosh Chodesh. So it says it talks about Hashem said, "Let there be Yom Ha'ilayla." There should be these luminaries that differentiate between night and day, and so on. And then it says, "Vayas Elokim Eshnei Maoros HaGedolim." Hashem made the two great luminaries, right? The two great luminaries, Es Hamor HaGedolim Shelas Hayom, Es Hamor HaKatan Shelas Halayla, Besik HaKavim. So the big luminary to rule in the day, and the small luminary to rule at night, and the stars. So there's an apparent contradiction, which it's not that big of a contradiction, but Rashi picks up on, other Mefarshim pick up on. On the one hand, the Bereisha of the Pasuk said, the beginning says, there's Shnei Maoros HaGedolim, two great luminaries, two big luminaries. But then it goes on and says, the big one to rule in the day and the small one to rule in the night. So are they both big, or is one big and one small? Okay, so you just say, some Rishonim say it means the two big ones, and within the class of big ones, one is bigger than the other. It's like a plain way. There's a lot of ways to explain. But Rashi cites a Medrash. He says, Shavim Nivru, they really were created equal. Shnei Maoros HaGedolim, they were created equal. They were both Gedolim. V'nismata ha'lavana al-shekitraga v'amra. But the moon was made smaller because it complained and it said, it's impossible to have two kings to use the same crown. Okay. Ve'esakochavim, and there were stars, Rashi adds in, al-yidei because of the fact that he lessened the moon, daita. So he increased its hosts, its accompaniment, stars that go along with the moon at night, in order to, I guess, assuage its mind, to calm it down. Okay. So, I mean, so obviously this is hard to understand, right? But basically it's depicting that it starts off by saying Shnei Maoros HaGedolim because he actually originally made two Maoros HaGedolim. But then because of the moon's protesting, he ended up changing it to the Maor HaGadol and the Maor HaKatan, to one he made the moon smaller. Okay. So let's see the Gemara, upon which this is based. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Now, just to preface, so the Rebbe gave a beautiful shiur about this, D118, Kiddush HaChodesh Purim, and the Rashba in his Kiddush HaGadol, is that what it's called? Yeah, his book on HaGadol also takes this up. And I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach from them, but they're both excellent, and they don't need my. Whatever, but I'm gonna talk about a little bit what I'm doing differently, and okay. So I'll borrow a little bit from each of their approaches. All right, so the Gemara says like this: it's Chulin Samach Amud Beis. So it's Rishulim Pazi Ramik Siv Vayasal Kim Hashem Avos Gedolim Yichsev Esmar Gadol Esmar Kach. So the contradiction between the Pesukim: are they both big, or is one big and one small? Amar Riach Fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the moon said to Hashem, is it possible to have two kings which are using the same crown? So go make yourself smaller. Because I said something good, I have to make myself small? Doesn't seem fair. So Hashem said, so you go and rule night and day, right? If you look at sometimes during the daytime, you see the moon. So the moon is sometimes visible night and day, but the sun is only visible during the day. You'll never see the sun at night, right? So Rashi says, Nechamahi, he's trying to console the moon. So Amrale, the moon said, My Rabu say, what's the big deal? What does that help? The Shagavatiya Ramayani, what does a candle and the light do? The moon, yes, we see it, but it doesn't do anything. You just see it.
Yes.
That doesn't help. Okay. So Amrale, Zil Limnu Bach Yisrael Yamim Mishanim. So Hashem said to the moon, Go, the Jews will go and, I guess, count. Via you, their days and their years. So we have the Torah, the Jews have a lunar calendar. So the whole calendar is works by the moon, not by the sun, right? So therefore, you've got an advantage also. I'll even things out. So Amrale, the moon said back, Yomanami, Yomishna. So the sun also is involved. By the Tkufos, the equinoxes, all the seasons are based upon the sun, and we have leap years because the sun to align the lunar year and the solar year. So don't it's not like the moon is saying it's not just me. I'm not the only one who gets to have our calendar based upon me. The sun's also involved in a lesser role, but it's also involved. So it's still not fair, right? Okay. So Hashem says, "Zil likru tzaddikim b'shmecha." We'll go. Don't worry, tzaddikim will go and be called by your name. Yaakov hakatan, Shmuel hakatan, David hakatan. Okay, so all these tzaddikim are called small. Yaakov small, the small Shmuel, the small David. Moon is small, so don't worry about it. It's okay. There's other small, important figures, right? So don't be upset. Okay, so as perhaps could be predicted, Chazya de lo kamias v'daita. So Hashem saw that that wasn't working. It wasn't appeasing the moon. It didn't quite cut it. So it says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heviyu kapara alai shemati eseh. So kivyachol, there should be a brought to bring a kapara for me, an atonement for me that I made the moon small. Okay. Behind you, so by the carbon Musaf of different holidays, we bring a Sayyar al-Khatas. It's a goat, there's a Khatas. So by Rosh Chodesh, it says Sayyar al-Hashem. Why does it say Sayyar al-Hashem? I'm sorry, La-Hashem. Just so it specifically says La-Hashem by Rosh Chodesh, not by the other ones. So why does it say that? So this Sayyar should be an atonement for me, the fact that I made the moon small. So that's why it's a Salah Hashem. It's, so to speak, a Kapara Hashem. It's not just a Kapara for us. Of course, the flame shot is a Kapara for us, right? Like the Kabbalah Kapara is for us. But so to speak, somehow, saying it's a Kapara for Hashem, what Hashem do wrong that he needs a Kapara? Oh, he made the moon small. Okay, that's the end of the one. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
God is giving a karma to himself.
Yeah, so that's, I guess, the most egregious of the problems, which is that it's how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't make a mistake? Right? Obviously, he doesn't need a kapara, he doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes, we need kapara. How could you possibly, Chazal, possibly insinuate that the Hashem needs a kapara? Right. Okay. Anything else difficult with this Gemara? Okay, good. So obviously the whole thing is hard to understand, right? I mean, moons don't talk, right? And they don't complain. And this whole dialogue is, right? I mean, obviously it's not meant to be understood like lame shot. Moon's not arguing and doesn't have feelings and arguments and all this, that, all these things. But you know what then is a teaching, right? Yes. Okay, good. You mean if this is the way Hashem wanted to do it, why not do it that way originally? Or if Hashem at the end wants to bring a kapara, then put it back the way it was. Make two big ones, right? Right. If Hashem wants a kapara, he could fix it, right? But he didn't choose to fix it. Yeah. Okay. I know, it's interesting. The son's sitting on the sidelines just watching, right? He's happy he didn't speak up. Yeah. He would have been the moon, huh? It's interesting that I don't really know how to answer this, but it's interesting that the Bavli doesn't have what Rashi has about the stars. Right? It has the whole dialogue, all the things Hashem said to appease the moon, but it doesn't bring down the star thing. Right? The Rashi, it sounds, you just read the Rashi, it sounds like ultimately the moon was appeased by giving him the stars. But that's based on the Medrash Rabbah. But it's a figment of Rabbah. But that's not the way the Bavli has it. Bavli has an ending up that the moon kind of Hashem admits, so to speak. Right? But the Medrash, which Rashi brings down, has it that the moon ended up being appeased. Okay, or at least Hashem did the stars, right? Hashem's throwing all the things at the moon and didn't do the stars. All right.
Why
do you sit down? Yeah, that's the drasha, that it's like Hashem made the chatas.
Why do you
all
know other
chatas? Oh, so Hashem? Well, because normally Hashem doesn't need kapara, we do.
Same, but it's always for
to Hashem.
So
oh, but the drasha is that it's like Hashem that needs the chatas. Series in the chatas la Hashem, so to speak, obviously. Makes sense, but that it's as if Hashem needs the kapara. It's not just a kapara for us that we're offering it to Hashem, but it's like a chatos for Hashem.
So the other chatos are not.
No, well, this is the one that's brought on Rosh Chodesh. So this is like Rosh Chodesh when we see, I guess, the small moon or whatever. It's like a moon-related holiday specific. So on this holiday, which is the moon tied to the moon, where it's when he chose to bring his kapara, we're making the moon small.
We bring the kapara.
Yes, whatever that means. Yes. So we're bringing it, obviously, but it references that idea somehow, right? Again, it's hard to even say this. Rebbe gave this year. He said it's like they say, like the pasuk says, "Amal mikra katsav yevshal amra." Not for the pasuk saying it, you couldn't say such. So he said, "Amal chazal amra yevshal." Chazal wouldn't say this. You can't enunciate it. It's hard to say these words. Hashem needs a kapara. It's absurd. So, I mean, obviously, it's some sort of metaphor, but you know, we have to understand what it means. But yeah. The Kapara? Oh, where? And Pinchas? Oh, okay. I didn't look at that. It's the point. He does. So, what does he say? Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I didn't look at that. Does he explain it? I'd say, yeah, I didn't think to look there. Yeah. Oh, you're right. I'm shaking. Midrash Rabbah Gadol, Midrash Rabbah Yehuda Kapara Elisha Mat Yisera. Yeah. Oh, the plain shot, he says, is because of Hashem, because it's an Aveira that has no idea, that no one knows about it. You know, no idea of itself. It's like a sin which is totally hidden, only to Hashem. That's the plain thought, why it says Hashem here, not by all the other ones. But the Midrash is because of this. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
At the end of the day, these are all of you. Just get the car on somehow.
Good question. If you find out, you let me know.
In the module,
Yeah, it seems that way. Yeah, it sounds like it has an ultimate piece. Maybe it helps a little bit. You know, and the Shir Rebbe brought up, I don't have much to say about it, but this we say on the Kiddush Levana, there's, it says, yeah, he wrote to Fanach Shalakai Shemalos Pekimas Halavana Beleva Shumir. So it may be or will that you'll complete the deficiency of the moon and won't have any deficiency. The moon, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. Okay, and so on. Right. Okay, so maybe we'll take that up.
What happened to the
night time? Oh, I don't know. Good question. About that. Yeah. All right.
And for the whole conversation.
Yeah, the whole conversation, all the steps. Yeah, all the steps. Right. Yeah, each step is hard to understand. Yeah, the hardest, the strangest is the Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan. But that didn't work at all. The moon didn't even have to say anything to object to that. It just didn't, you know, Hashem just saw that wasn't working. Right? So, but Hashem tried it. Right? Yeah. Okay. So just as a, I guess as a preface. So, again, I can't possibly do it justice, but just to reference you to Rebbe gave this year, and again, in broad strokes, Rebbe learned that it's a mashal. Okay, it's a metaphor, and the sun. Again, I'm not gonna just telling you a little bit about it, but you have to listen if you want. It's a great year. So the sun is represents like the forces of practical existence. Well, like the laws of nature, the practical, political forces of the world. This tied into Purim, like Haman and whatever. And the moon represents the forces of what he called real existence. Maybe it has the Hashkafa Pratis, or like the ultimate true metaphysical physical existence before God. And there's like a mashal, or it's a metaphor for how kind of in this world, the practical forces seem to ultimately, you know, reign supreme, but ultimately forces, the matter of true existence, the real existence, ends up prevailing, and Mordechai ended up prevailing over Haman, and lost the love of the whole world will be in line with that. Something to that effect. Again, yeah, you have to look it on your own. But basically, it's the way Rebbe's taking it is it's like a total metaphor. Right, a total metaphor. I mean, in the sense that it's nothing to do with the sun and the moon, per se. Right? It's a metaphor for something else, which is like metaphors often are. Right? The Rashba took a different approach, which is he has this thing. He has an often he talks about it a few different agadas. He has this thing, which is like Chazal kind of create these stories. Again, you have to look on your own. I'm just referencing it, but he create these stories to allude to teach you certain lessons. They teach certain ideas, important ideas, through crafting these stories. So, like for example, he says in this story, he says one idea is that the sun, the moon, stars, people worship them. Or maybe philosophers thought they had this like eternal existence alongside of a God, like an Aristotelian type of view. And through creating the story, it becomes clear, it's depicting that Hashem created the moon, and the moon and the sun have the form which they have because of Hashem's ratzon. It could have been different. Hashem chose, so to speak, to make them in this way. So by in a certain sense, it puts the sun and the moon and the stars, bodies which are often worshipped or viewed in different ways, in the context that they're in the Nevra'im. So that's like one benefit of creating a story like this. It helps teach us the proper way to relate to them. And then it goes at more length, it teaches us another idea that a person who's in a position of power has to be concerned about the Midas HaHashva. I think that's the Lashon Yud, like of equality, treating things equally. So the underlings, so to speak, Hashem's underlings, the sun and the moon, with which he or Mishamshim, you know, rule the world or, you know, help direct the four things in the world. So Hashem is, so to speak, trying in the fullest way to appease the moon to make sure things are equal. And a person who's in a position of power should make sure that those people are under him. We should be totally fair, and reasonable, and justifiable, and answer the dinah back and forth. And so it's like he's saying a lot of the story is depicting, teaching us the importance of that mitzvah. Okay. And there's in passing, he mentioned some other points, which I'll get to a little bit later. But the point is that
it's like, it depends on the person. I mean, it's still a kind of whole notion of God is the one who's
creating them. Yes. And he's saying, so that's kind of what he's saying is that Hashem made it that the sun and the moon both have their important roles. The sun gives the light and it's whatever, it's the Bar Gadol, but the moon has a very important role in the Kapara of Chal Yisrael. And Chal Yisrael is like the foundation of the existence of the world, the whole purpose of the existence of the world. We only exist because of Kapara. The Kapara comes from Rosh Chodesh, the Kapara is off from Rosh Chodesh, so you, so to speak, even out the roles of the sun and the moon. Right? And it teaches us that lesson about the importance of taking such a midah, such an approach with those who are under. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, so again, they're both excellent. You know, I recommend everybody look at those both of that shira and that drash. The approach I want to take is, you know, incorporate certain elements in them, but in general, I like to take the Agadotos like this, or in general, Rashi's Midrashim, in a certain sense, like I guess you could say, as literal as possible. Okay? Of course, you can't take this literally, but to be like, to me, again, this is my preference, is it's hard for me to take it as a metaphor, because it becomes open-ended for me. I don't know what a metaphor for. It could be the world of possibilities. And I don't know, I feel like it's, you know, I'm speculating to figure out what it could be a metaphor for. So in general, I try to hug the story as ridiculous as it might sound, as best as possible. Okay, so in other words, that it's actually talking about the sun and the moon, and teaching us about Hashem's creation of the sun and the moon, and depicting being Doresh the Psukim, which are describing how Hashem created the sun and the moon. And as if there was like some sort of original plan of how he created the sun and the moon, and then a secondary plan, or different factors, if you will, which are going into the creation of the sun and the moon, which are being brought out through this story. So it is a metaphor. Of course, the moon doesn't talk, but it's kind of depicting like almost like a dialogue, through a dialogue, competing factors, which are going into the sun and the moon. As if, so to speak, in some sense, it would be better the way Hashem originally did it, that there would be two Moros and Gedolim, but yet, in some sense, that's not the way Hashem ultimately did it. But he brought a kapara for that, because there's a tension, if you will, between the two different ways for the creation to take form. And the Medrash is depicting, if you will, the story form, the different factors and arguments which went into, so to speak, whether there should be two great luminaries or there should be one big one, one small. Okay, in broad strokes. Okay, so let me digress and tell you about something in the Mor Nebuchim that Rebbe gave a very nice explanation for, which is seemingly irrelevant to this, but I think it comes in. Okay? So, in Mor Nebuchim, in Book 3, Chapter 45, it's in the Friedlander edition, of page 356. So, the Rambam's describing the category of the mitzvahs, the Tamei mitzvahs, about the Mishkan, Mikdash Mishkan. So, he's talking about the Kruvim. Okay, I'm talking about the Kruvim. And he says, I'll just read you, it's not very long. But he's talking about the reason for the Kruvim and the fact that there are two Kruvim. So he says, from the preceding remarks, it is clear that the belief in the existence of angels is connected with the belief in the existence of God. And the belief in God and angels leads to belief in prophecy and in the truth of the law, the Torah. In order to firmly establish this creed, God commanded to make over the ark the form of two angels. The belief in the existence of angels is thus inculcated into the minds of the people, and this belief is in importance next to the belief in God's existence. It leads us to believe in prophecy and in the law, and opposes idolatry. Okay, I'll pause for a second. So what he's saying is that the belief in angels is very important, which we talked about more earlier. Nevuah is based on angels. The Torah is based on angels. And therefore, in order to make sure we have the idea of angels, he made these kruvim in order to teach us this idea, which is very important. And opposes idolatry. Now he elaborates on that. If there had only been one figure of a cherub, the people would have been misled and would have mistaken it for God's image, which was to be worshipped in that fashion of the heathen. Right? It would be like an idolatrous image. It would be like a god. It would be one cherub. People would say, oh, that's God. Or they might have assumed that the angel was also a deity and would thus have adopted a dualism. Right? So they may have thought, no, Hashem is Hashemayim, but that's another God. Right? That's the God in the temple. And then there's another God in the sky. Two God, two gods, a type of dualism. Okay. By making two kruvim and distinctly state declaring the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Right? Moshe clearly proclaimed the theory of the existence of a number of angels. He left no room for the error of considering those figures as deities. Since he declared that God is one, and that he is the creator of angels who are more than one. Okay, so he's saying is Hashem is one. These are two angels. Right? So you can't say this is the representation of God because there are two of them. And we know there's only one God. Right? Okay, so Rabbi asked a question, which is that why don't you say, like you see that somehow we had this possibility if there was one. This is the obvious question when you read it. But if there was one angel, they'd say, maybe that's God. Or maybe God's in heaven and this is another God, right? But it says, so I don't know. Somehow they would, even though it says that, you would have been able to tolerate dualism. But somehow there are two gods. So then maybe similarly, these two angels are the dualism. Maybe God's in heaven and then these two angels are the two gods. And that's also dualism, right? And how does it really, once you see the Rambam entertains the possibility of dualism, which is a type of Avodah Zarah, so then, likewise, maybe these two Kruvim are two gods, not two angels, right? Okay. So, briefly, again, I don't mean to get deeply into this, but briefly, he wanted to say is that dualism, he elaborated on this a little bit, but the dualism is like a belief system, which is like there's two forces. There's like the force of good and the force of evil. And there's like, he's saying it's based upon like things affect you negatively, things affect you positively, and you project them onto the universe. Like there's like the force of good, good God, and the force of evil. And there's like, different, and it's a prevalent view in the ancients and pagans of having this idea. They take all force of good and project them to good God and force of bad and the bad God. Something to that effect. And that's kind of the nature of dualism. That's there's an appeal to dualism. But he says, you're not going to have dualism of two identical gods. Because what does it do for you? You have two identical gods. The whole idea is like they're different. They're based upon two different parts of your psyche and you project different types of images, feelings, attitudes of these two different gods. And you're not going to see two identical kruvim that doesn't appeal to the idea of dualism. That's not two gods. So what is it? So it must be, it's angels. Okay, so it's like, it's almost like the Torah was, Hashem wanted to teach the idea of angels, but the same way prevented from falling into an idolatrous opinion, view. And therefore by creating two identical kruvim, he pointed to the idea of angels, which have multiplicity, there's different types. And at the same time, you still retain the idea of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. Good. Fine. My point in this is that the one thing I want to take from here for now is that the design of the Mishkan, and I think the Rashba talks about this also, this Pasha, that the design of the Mishkan was largely, exclusively, I don't know, one major factor is to teach us ideas, right? The different parts of the Mishkan reflect different ideas, ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ideas about angels, ideas about Hashem's Hashgacha, about Hashem's source of Kapara, and the source of knowledge, and his Shechina Shor of Yisrael. I mean, every facet, it's like a museum, if you will, which conveys ideas, different ideas, foundational ideas about Hashem. And tour guides of the museum would be like, the going on and more, teaching you all these different ideas. So the Mishkan is a place of growth. It's a place where we go in order to grow, to learn ideas, to get in touch with ideas about Hashem, about Kruvim, avoiding Avodah Zarah. Okay. So I guess now my question, moving away from there for a minute, is that also part of the design of the universe? Okay. In other words, Hashem made the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is there largely to teach us ideas. Is Hashem's creation, is the way Hashem set up the Bria, the universe, is that also designed to teach us ideas about Hashem? Or is that not? That's nothing to do with it. That's designed for us to live in, so to speak. That's not to teach us ideas. Okay? So let me read you a Rashi and Dvarim, which may indicate that it's not. Even that's not the considerations in the Bria. Okay? So the Pasuk says, this is Dvarim Dalet Yates, 419. Upentisa in Echa Shemayim, lest you will look your eyes up to the heavens. Or Isa Sashemesh, Vesayreach, Vesachav, and Kotva Shemayim. You'll see the sun, the moon, the stars, all the hosts of the heavens. Nidafta Vesachav Isolam, and you'll be drawn after them. You'll stray, you'll bow to them, Avadatam, and you'll serve them. Asher Cholak Hashem al Kecha Osam, the Cholam, Tachat Hashemayim, that Hashem gave them to all the nations that are under them. Okay, distributed them, gave them, apportioned them. So what does it mean, saying that all these heavenly things, Hashem apportioned to the nations that are under the heavens? What does that mean, right? So Rashi says, Pentis anachol histakel b'davar, to stare at them, to gaze at them, v'latzei slave litos achrayim, and to be drawn after them. And as we know, the heavenly bodies are a source of great idolatry. Sun is worshipped by many, many cultures. Mitzrayim, even in Egypt, I think even the Pharaoh who got rid of idolatry still had one god, which was Ra, the sun god. So the worshipping of the heavenly bodies, or both Kochavim and Mazalos, right? And that's what we call about the Dara, stars, and right? All the zodiac, all the whole world of idolatry is the, you know, the heavenly bodies. Okay, so that's what they're saying, lest you look up and see these things, Asher Cholak Lahayir Lahem, that Hashem apportioned to give us light. So Hashem gave us these things really to give us light. But we could run the risk of looking up at them and not realizing that they're there created by God to give us light, but we could attribute to them power and worship them. Davar acher, what does it mean that Hashem apportioned them to other nations? La'alahas, for gods. Hashem apportioned them for gods. Lo mina'an melitos acharayim. He did not prevent them from straying after these gods. Rather, he, I guess, tripped them up with his foolishness in order to harm them. So, saying is that, according to this pshat, that Hashem created these heavenly bodies in a certain sense as a stumbling block. That it gives man the opportunity to say for Bechira, if you will. And it is tricky for idolaters. I mean, it's Chalakism of Chalahamim that basically put them there in a certain sense as a test, if you will, or as a potential stumbling block for people, for nations of the world to worship them, right? Which again is indicating, at least according to this pshat, that in a certain sense, it's like Hashem knows that the heavenly bodies are not like the Mishkan, which is designed to prevent us and to protect us from idolatry. But on the contrary, it seems like it, in a certain sense, directs a person to mistakenly fall prey to idolatry. And we have to avoid that. Of course, that's a mitzvah way to avoid that, and Torah warns us to avoid that. But the nations of the world are tripped up by it. Right, which points in the direction of the fact that that's not really the plan of the creation. The design of the universe is not really designed to avoid idolatry. Okay, so there's another Gemara, Mishnah and Gemara, in Avodah Zarah, which takes this up a little bit also. So it's, you're probably familiar once I say it. So it's in Avodah Zarah, Nun Dalet on the base. It says like this: the Zakenim, they asked the Zakenim in Rome, okay? And the Gemara has it, the philosopher, they asked the Zakenim in Rome, okay? So they said, in Ein Ritzon of Avodah Zarah, if Hashem's will is not to have Avodah Zarah, Lama Einam Avala, so why doesn't Hashem destroy Avodah Zarah? Similar to this point, there's like, why is there Avodah Zarah in the world? Hashem doesn't want Avodah Zarah, don't write a whole Torah against it, just get rid of it. Who needs it? So Amr Lahem, the Chum said, if they worship things that the world didn't need, he wouldn't be vatal, he wouldn't nullify it. But they're serving the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavenly, right? So what's he going to do? Destroy the world because of the Shotam? Right? And I'm just going to snip a piece from the Gemara. Same version of the Gemara, but it adds on. Ela olam mikim in hagonoig. The world goes according to its laws. The Shotam shall kilkilu asidim liten esaden. And the Shotam, fools who make mistakes, they'll be punished, ultimately. Okay, so then the Gemara continued, the discussion continued. So these people, the philosophers, they asked the Chachamim, they said, so remove those gods which the world doesn't need, right? All the other getchkos or whatever that are not necessary for the world, right? And leave the other ones, leave the sun, the moon, the stars. I got it, you need the sun, the moon, the stars. You're not going to destroy those because of the fools who want to worship them, but why do you need all the rest of the idolatry in the world? Why doesn't God wipe those out? So Amr Lahan, the Chacham said, Af anu machzikim day of the Anshalelo. Then that's going to strengthen the sun worshippers, the moon worshippers, and the star worshippers. Chomram Tedu Shein also proved to you their gods. All the other idols melted, and all of a sudden the sun, moon, stars are still intact. Oh, these are the real gods. Right? So basically, the takeaway, it seems, from here is that Hashem's making the world in a way which is based upon Chachmah. Based upon Hashem wants a world where there's light and there's day and there's night and there's all the different, the world, the beautiful world in which we live in. And it has sun, moon, stars, and everything else, and all the different forces of nature. And sometimes that comes in conflict with his ratzon that there isn't a Vatzar in the world. Right? But look, sometimes you can't save everybody. So their shotim are always going to make mistakes, and it sounds almost like Hashem would avoid them, remove them, right? But what do you want to say? At least that's a claim shot. It says, look, at least that's what they thought in the philosophers. If it were the case that they wouldn't worship these, that they didn't need these things, Hashem didn't need these things, then he would have. But this is part of all mikanoganoig. This is the chachma of the bria. Yeah.
Mishnah that whoever you were voting that God did not set up the
world to. That's what I'm discussing now. But yeah, I'm saying is it seemed at first that he didn't, because it says that the Rashi is saying is that he made these heavenly bodies in a way which trips up the nations. On the other hand, this Gemara, this Mishnah, seems to be depicting that there's like a tension. It's part of his ratzon, part of his will to prevent people falling prey. But at the same time, there's a more primary consideration, which is that of the olam kimonogonoi, the laws of nature working according to their proper chachma, right? Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's like this is implying kind of the other way, that there is, not necessarily God doesn't care about these things, but there's a tension. It might be the case that God cares about preventing the Zara, but at the same time, there's a more primary role, importance of the plan of the Bria, which is the beautiful laws of nature which he set up. And sometimes that comes in conflict with his desire to avoid the Zara, but ultimately that wins out, is that the world is there. You cannot have a sun and a moon and stars because there's going to be idolaters who are going to make mistakes. The world needs a sun and moon and stars. But there's another Rashi or two Rashis, which I'm just going to talk about very briefly, which indicate that is part of the design of the Bria. And in a certain sense, I think it's mistaber that it would be. Why not? Hashem's making a Mishkan to teach us ideas and to avoid of Zara. Why wouldn't that be part of the plan of the Bria to prevent us from falling prey to Zara? But the Rashi on Bereshit says, "Vayemar Hashem Elokim, lo tov yosa adam levad, es elo yitzar kenegdo." It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a partner. This is in Beis Yochas. So lo tov, so Rashi says, this is a difficult Rashi in its own right, but it says, shelo yomar shtei rishuyotein. Why is it not good for man to be alone? Because then people are going to say, people, whatever that means, people are going to say that there are two authorities, shtei rishuyos, two gods, two authorities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'ol yonam yachad ben lozog. God is in the heavens and he doesn't have a partner. Uvzeh v'tachtor ben lozog. And man on earth doesn't have a partner. So if you made man alone without a chava, then people would Again, that's our part. Who is the people? But whatever. People would call, or creatures would come to worship, man as a god. And similarly, by the past another Rashi, it says, and Gimel Chafei is saying is that last Adam will eat from this tree and he'll live forever. And Rashi says, if he lives forever, that he'll cause the people, or the brios, the creatures, to stray after him, to say he's a god. So basically it's indicating that part of the design of man, there's like a tension, if you will, by creating man, who is so much greater than other creatures, there's a potential that he'll be worshipped. And as such, so that people don't think that, we don't think that, I'm not clear. Again, there's the circular problem of the thing, that, you know, who are we worried about exactly? But it indicates is that that's part of the plan of the Bria to avoid a okay. Any questions? But man is God. So that's kind of what I'm saying here. It's like ultimately, I think that's the point of that other Gemara, is that that's part of his plan, that is a factor in the creation, but ultimately you can't ultimately please everybody, and you can't ultimately, he did whatever so that people wouldn't worship man, but you can't ultimately make it impossible. And you're not going to not make man, or not give man its own, look, make man unique, because maybe people are going to worship him, just like you're not going to make a sun, moon, and stars, because people are going to worship it. So there's like, whereas you could argue the Mishkan maybe has like a primary objective of teaching ideas, and avoiding with Zara, giving, teaching proper ideas, there's a primary objective in the world, is the laws of nature, the great world which God created, the Olam Kimono Noeg. And there is a secondary factor of preventing man from falling prey to Zara, but ultimately there are going to be shotim, fools who are going to make mistakes and be led astray by various features of the world. People might worship humans, people might worship the sun, moon, and the stars, and so be it. That's, you know, you can ultimately prevent. Yes.
Would you say that according to the way you vision it, that a person,
the Rambam describes the course of Avodah Zarah. So he describes how it started in the days of Enosh, that ultimately people strayed after the heavenly bodies, after, you know, God gave them authority, and because of that they started worshiping, you know, doing things towards them as emissaries, intermediaries to God, and then slowly but surely spiraled out of control towards worship of them. So you see that they're a stumbling block. They are a stumbling block. That's almost by their nature, they are a stumbling block. The Torah is warning us against them, but it is within the nature of man to fall prey, and it's part of the Bria that does lead man astray, and that's part of man's Bechira, and part of the Torah is to prevent that from occurring. But that's the fact is that there are stumbling blocks. And so why does he have them? I'm looking at like more primary factor. I mean, it is that God wants there to be a sun and a moon and stars and human beings and whatever. Yeah. I'm going to get to it a little bit later, but I'm saying, Asher Cholagam is saying is like, it's expressing the fact that the sun, moon, stars are stumbling blocks. It's acknowledging the fact that they are. Created them to create light. On the one hand, the plame shot is like a kalak lam to create light. At the same time, they are also stumbling blocks for the nations of the world. We'll talk about it. Okay. So going back to Targumar. Okay, going back to Targumar. Yeah. So it seems that the sun is the sun is a great, is, I guess is the, is a, I'm positing, the sun is much greater Avodah Zarah than the moon. Okay, the sun is more, as a bigger history of being worshipped than the moon. The sun is a powerhouse, is a melech, and it's worshipped, like I was mentioning, the triumph ultimately got rid of Avodah Zarah, then get rid of the sun. The sun is much more appealing than the moon. It does so much more than the moon. And the sun is a great stumbling block. all the heavenly bodies are stumbling blocks. We're saying the sun is the biggest stumbling block of all, because it gives us light, gives us heat. The night is dark and cold and scary, and the sun is the great savior, which gives us is light, powerful. The moon is cool, but nothing like the sun. And you know, there's a history of moon worship, but not like the sun. The sun is talking about the heavenly bodies being a michshol, stumbling block, saying the sun is the greatest of them. And I'd like to suggest is that the way that Hashem could have prevented that, could have prevented people from worshiping the sun in the way, the extreme which they did, was through creating Shnei Maoros HaGadolim, similar to what he did by the Kruvim. If he would have created two suns, maybe call one of them moon, or maybe they'd be known to sun one and sun two, right? Then that would have made it much less appealing as an item of worship. Who wants two identical gods? It's not, you know, dualism again, they're different. But to have two equal gods, it just doesn't appeal to what a person is looking for. You have different gods, and there's gods of this, rain and lightning and thunder and that, you know, but just to have two identical ones, that would really counter or minimize the appeal of sun worship. Okay. But, and in a certain sense, there's something better about that, about creating the world that way. But the moon said to Hashem, which is again pointing another factor, so to speak, consideration in the Bria, which is that in terms of the Chachma of the Bria, that doesn't work. Like the moon says, you can't have two kings wearing the same crown, right? Which I'm interpreting to mean is like a government, a country needs a president or a prime minister, a company needs a CEO. And any organization needs a leader. And the leader is where the buck stops here and ultimately calls the shots. And in terms of the Chachma of the Bria, again, it maybe you have to interpret this differently based upon the way old science looked at the sun, as if it was like a intelligence, which was somehow ruling the world, or according to our laws of nature, it had a different way of interpreting it. But what I'm saying is suggesting is that that's not Chachma. It's the Chachma of the Bria ultimately doesn't make sense to have two sons. You can't have two sons which are identical. Would it avoid Avodah Zarah? Yes. And that's the Kruvim, where the Mikt Mishkan is like a, primarily to teach us ideas. And you have two Kruvim. What does the second one do? It avoids Avodah Zarah. Right. But that's not the Chachma of the Bria. Is to design that the sun does one thing, moon does another thing, stars do different things. There's different features of our universe. But to have two identical suns would be is not in line with the Chachma of the Bria. Okay. So that's the moon is contending that it's not in the framework of avoiding Avodah Zarah, that would be best. But in the framework of the Chacham of the Bria, it would be redundant, the redundancy in the creation. And is redundancies lack in Chachma, lack in the beauty of the system which Hashem is creating. And that's primary. Primary is saying that Hashem's not going to get rid of the sun and the moon because people are going to worship them. And he's not going to make two suns because that would be less, make it less prone to worship. Because it's redundant. You don't need two sons. You don't need two kings. One king works well. That makes more sense in a system of the laws of nature. Okay, so Hashem said to the moon, okay, you're right, good point. So, you know, have one big one and one smaller. Okay. So the rest of the dialogue, I'd like to suggest, is, we'll go through the particulars, is, so to speak, just because Hashem makes one sun, the sun big and the moon small, It doesn't mean he has to drop that problem altogether. But it's like he's trying to give the moon advantages over the sun so that it would help offset the appeal, idolatrous appeal of the sun. So yes, the sun is the great Mara Gadol. And there's day and there's night. Can't always be day. There's day and there's night, and the sun is greater than the moon in a major regard, but the moon has some great things also, which would, so to speak, appease the moon and offset, I'm saying appease the moon means offset the great draw that that the sun has. Just to, before I do that, so I saw it, it's interesting, Adas Akenim on the Pasuk says like this. It says, how does it go? We say this in Kel Adam. Rav Iskintros Halvana. How does that? Karal Shemesh by Yizrachar. And he called to the sun and it shone light. Rav Iskintros Halvana. He saw and he was created, fixed, the form of the Levana. So it says, Rashi, the Das Kingdom says, according to those who are Gorsin Rav Iskin, the different Gersos in that. Pirish Kach. Rav Hashem Yisparchia. See them humos olam litos achar Hashemesh. Hashem saw that the nations of the world are going to, in the future, stray after the sun. So he went and he fixed the tzurasal, the form of the levana, to show them she'ena shemesh eloka. The shemesh isn't the god. She'esh shemesh, are shemesh acher. There's another shemesh. Hagun v'rakamo, which is proper and nice, like it. So that's what he's learning. It's like the moon is not, is in a certain sense there, or one of the functions of the moon is, in this framework of Atzara, is to offset the draw of the sun. Not, obviously it didn't work entirely, and the nations of the world ultimately did fall to sun worship, but I'm saying it would have been worse. Yeah.
So which is the primary concern? Dualism or thinking of the sun as somehow
oh yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a dualism on the sun. I don't know. Not, is there? Is that a thing? I don't know. Is there? Is that a thing? I don't know. I didn't think of that, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm saying the primary thing is avoiding the sun. The sun is the most one powerful god, godlike thing is too dangerous, and it had to be offset. And that's why he made Shnei Maros Gadol. Right? Now, one was bigger, one was smaller, but it was important that there were Shnei Maros Gadol. And yes, he had to make one bigger, one smaller, but there were factors which were designed to offset that. So the first thing it says is that the moon is always around, night and day. Always whatever, but it's night and day. So the sun, as great as it is, it goes to sleep. Right, and I think that's why this. I just looked at it before, but I forgot the details. But the Rashba says, yeah, that's why the Gemara says it's important to daven. A person should always be careful to feel mincha. It's Eliyahu at mincha time. He was part of a Baal by that whole showdown of Baal. He was like when it was coming mincha time is when you really put them down, and knock them out. This is they were worshiping the sun, and as the sun is setting, it kind of makes you realize the power is the sun is seeding. This is going into the background, and the sun goes to sleep at night. That's part of the idea of Avodah Zarah, is like, you know, they have their stages, and it rises, and then it sets. But God is Lo'ayin and Lo'ayishon, Shomer Yisrael. So it's like the sun is only there during the daytime, but the moon is always around. So that was what Hashem is saying, is we'll offset the appeal of the sun. It's powerful, but it's short term. The moon is always around. But the moon says, okay, nice idea. But the Shraga Batira Mayanis, what does the moon do at nighttime? You see it, and you say, hey, and the daytime, but you say, okay, look, there's the moon. Okay. It's cute, but it doesn't like, ultimately, it doesn't do anything in a way that will, doesn't help anybody. And the idolater is looking for it to help it. Maybe you see it, and you can appreciate that it's there, but it doesn't help. And the idolaters are moved by tachlis. Like, what does it do? It doesn't do anything. Okay.
Takes away from the sun.
Yes, in theory, but ultimately it doesn't work. You know, the moon's taina is that's not
enough.
It's not enough. It's not enough to counter it. Exactly.
It does give it more power than
Yes, and that's the argument. There is an argument there, but ultimately it didn't appease the moon. The moon's saying it's not Doesn't have it.
They're really not giving the moon power. It's about not ascribing supreme power to the sun.
Yes. Yeah. So then
Hashem,
yeah.
That's why it's very important.
Yeah. Sorry, I might have missed it. But how did you explain the moon's?
I'm saying the main point that the moon is saying is like I'm just making a point that it's not chachma. I'm saying a point is that it's not chachma to do it that way, to have two suns. But there's still a problem. Like now you make me small, but now you've got a problem. There's a reason why you wanted to make me big. I don't have a great solution. I'm just saying is like this doesn't make sense to have two suns. Now you're making me small. Well, what about the problem? Like you wanted to have two big ones, so now I'm small, and now basically I'm getting shortchanged, and everyone's going to worship the sun. So that's like he's like almost saying you haven't really solved it. Like I didn't mean to just make me small. I meant to, I don't know, somehow figure out we've got a problem on our hands. Now he's continuing his argument. He's saying, is there anything you're going to do to me? It's depicting him as if he's personally interested, but it's like he's giving the argument to bring up the moon because that's important to be able to offset the sun.
His argument was not, why don't we make the sun small instead of me? Because I'm the one who brought up the issue.
Right. Right. So it's not like he's going to reverse it. It's not going to help to reverse it. Right? I'm not saying that he wants to reverse it because that's not going to do anything either. And then he's just going to reverse the moon and not the sun. It's called change names. What's the difference? You're right. His point is, give me something else to help me have what I used to have in order to be able to offset the sun. It may not be that I'm not going to be as big as the sun, but something. Okay. So then he says to him, so the next step is, he says, the Jews will count the Yamim, their calendar with you, right? It's interesting here, it's only the Jews, right? But I think it means is the moon is, like you see, we say by Kiddush Levana, that Asher Ben Arba Rosh HaKim Rav Pigotam Chok Uzman Nasan Lahem Shalei Shana Safti Yidams, right? And basically, when we see the moon is like the orderly cycles of the moon is allows us to make our calendar. And there's like others, we see the chachma of the chok uzman that Hashem imparted to the moon. And like it's true the sun is powerful and impactful based upon its strength, its size and all that, its heat. But the moon lends itself to like the chachma of the Kiddush HaChodesh, for example, is primarily focused on the cycles of the moon, and our whole calendar is focused on Klal Yisrael studies the chachma and the cycles of the moon, and builds our calendar around it. And therefore, it's like when you think about the heavenly bodies, not just in the framework of the light, but is also part of it. Is that it says volume, right? It says, it's also for that. And then, it's also there for light. So there's a primary function of the heavenly bodies, which is to enable man to make calendar and to study the chachma of the brother Bria and to build our calendar around that. And the saying is that the moon, as like we have a lunar calendar, right? And therefore, that's the chachma, which is exhibited by the moon, and the way that we build our lives around the moon and as Jews, helps undercut the appeal of the sun. But the moon says back, the calendar is really both. The moon doesn't have an exclusive in that regard, because the sun is also part of it. That leap years are based upon the sun, aligning the sun and the moon in the seasons, because the seasons are based upon the sun. And if you only had a lunar calendar, the seasons are going to get off, and then we're not going to have Chodesh Aviv, and we're not going to have Pesach being in the spring, and all the problems. So it's ultimately the Jewish calendar is, if you study Hilchos Chodesh, it's a combination. There is a combination. Maybe it's more primarily focused on the chachma of the moon, but the sun is part of the picture also. It doesn't have a monopoly, so to speak, on that, and therefore it's not going to be enough to allow it to offset. Yes, Alan? If the calendar, if like the Jews, because our calendar is built around the moon, So it like it can cause us to focus on the moon more than the sun, and that allows it like to offset the intense focus on the sun. There's like a framework where the moon has primacy, which is like our calendar. What?
The authority of the sun.
Yeah, the authority of the sun is reduced. Because, yeah. Right, because at least in the eyes of the Jews, right? The nations of the world, that's what we got to do. The nations of the world, the Chalak Shem Chalam. But the Torah sets up our calendar, and there's a lunar calendar, which is, again, it causes us to focus our attention on the moon, and the nature of that focus is based on the Chachma of it. But I guess this is both. I mean, it's mainly the focus. The focus of our mind's eye is on the moon because of it.
Are you saying the fact that we can put the sun on
the— I'm saying it takes away from the focus on the moon because it's not quite, it's not, it may be more on the moon than on the sun, but it's on the sun as well. So,
like if we didn't use any Chachma to think about the sun,
I guess I'm saying that it's more the focus is the fact that if we are focused only on the moon when we're living our lives and setting up our calendar and all that, we only looked at the moon and not the sun, then the moon would have a sphere which it had an exclusive on. But given that this whole sphere of how we build our lives is based on a combination of the sun and the moon, therefore, it doesn't help. So it's not enough to, you know. Yeah, I guess the Chachma is a different part.
The sensibility is really—
yes. 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 Yeah. So that's what I think is ultimately, which is getting to the Kapara is also only for Bnei Yisrael. I think ultimately, that's why he's saying, Asher Chalak Hashem L'Chol Ha'am. Ultimately, there isn't really a solution for the nations. The nations of the world, that's what it's saying, is they're going to trip on us. There's no real solution. There is a solution which Hashem gives to Klal Yisrael, which is in theory this calendar thing, but it doesn't quite work out. Ultimately, it ends up being because this kapara, which is, we have to get to. But, yes, yes, right. Yeah, the other nations through, right. And Lassid Lavo, maybe the whole world will recognize it and the moon will be brought back up and the same as the sun. And but yeah, it's through Klal Yisrael. Yeah, the other nations are going to be through Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the
Okay. So then it says Hashem said to the moon that tzaddikim are going to be called by your name. Yaakov Hakatan, Shmuel Hakatan, David Hakatan. Right. So I was thinking that maybe that means is that the bigger isn't necessarily better. But it's true the sun is powerful and mighty. And David HaMelech was also weaker than his brothers. But David HaMelech was the Melech. And he ended up prevailing. And Klal Yisrael, as Yaakov HaKatan is referring to Klal Yisrael, and Shmuel HaKatan, which is that there is an appeal to physical might and strength and gvura, but ultimately that doesn't always prevail. And the moon has its own sphere of influence and has its importance, and then maybe the calendar is primarily for it. And all those other points, the moon does have, has things which the sun doesn't have, has certain advantages over the sun. And maybe it takes time, but, you know, David HaMelech wasn't recognized as the guy immediately, but then ultimately he did prevail. And the Shmuel wasn't, you know, maybe it was a medium. It's not exactly Bechana Davna, he'd be like medium. But he ended up being a great Shmuel. And Klal Yisrael is a small nation, but we ended up prevailing. And just because, you know, there is an appeal of pure physical strength, but tzaddikim are called by your name, which is that there's, that doesn't ultimately, you know, not everything is based upon the physical strength. And a person who looks at the world, you see the moon also has an important role. Certain ways more important. But ultimately, the moon wasn't impressed. Because while that might be true, that the moon, you know, there is the sun and the moon, and just because it's greater, it doesn't matter. But ultimately, the mind of the idolater is drawn towards strength, power, you know, the brightness. And that's, there is like a point that, for example, nowadays, where we've, you know, risen out of our pagan mentality, the world in general. I don't think anyone value, you know, like has a, this primitive way of relating to the sun and not the moon. I mean, they're all parts of the Chochma Libriya. You know, some people like studying the moon, some people like studying the sun. It doesn't have the same draw. There is ultimately, in the long term, it doesn't, it kind of man moves away from that, and not, you're not just impressed by physical might, but there's you can see more depth and see that there's sun, moon, stars, all the different parts of the Bria. But the moon is saying is like ultimately, at least in the initial stages of man's evolution away from Vod Zara, the sun is much, much more powerful, and emotionally people are impressed by that, and it doesn't help. It doesn't help to tell me that, okay, ultimately people recognize the greatness of tzaddikim, and even though they're small, but they end up prevailing. That's true, but not enough to really solve the problem. Okay. So basically, Hashem, it's interesting. So according to the Rashi, there was another step, right, which is the stars, which kind of, again, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't have that, but it seems like that's saying the moon might be much smaller than the sun, but the star, the night sky, has a different draw on the person. The sun is powerful, but it's the one guy during the day. But the night, the sky, has different types of it. You see, like, I don't know, Ovid Kochav Mazalos, like you see, like, Kochav and the stars, the zodiac, all that. There's, like, competing. This is in a certain sense interesting. It's like better to have two competing over the stars than that one greater. Because one greater on everyone's going to fall. Once you have already choices, so they all have their different milas, and it allows people to not get fixated on any one thing. And then maybe you could, you know, take a step back and recognize all these things have a one source. Yes, yeah. So seems like the moon has teammates, so to speak, has the hosts of the heavens, which when you look into the night sky, you see all the moon and everything. But it doesn't seem like our Gemara had that. Seems like in our Gemara, Hashem is ultimately saying, "Is you're right. It's a problem." And Hashem's saying, "I bring a kapara for me." So I think maybe it means that. He's saying it should be I should bring a have a kapara, which means like there is in this regard, there is a deficiency in the Bria. In purely regarding preventing of Avodah Zarah, it really should have been a Shnei Moros HaGadol. And there's something misleading to the primitive mind of having a Moros HaGadol and a Moros HaKatan. And by having like a kapara for it, it's like every Rosh Chodesh we reflect on the fact that Hashem made the moon small, but not because the moon is not important and the sun is important and somehow there is more powerhouse. It's because that's the way the Chacham of the Bria had it, that there is a sun and there's a moon and there has to be, and they can't have two kings, you know, with the same crown. But like through like the fact that it's like depicted as Hashem eating kapara is a metaphor, but it's trying to show like in this regard, we reflect on the fact that there was, there is a mistake, if you will, or a misleading factor of the Bria, which Hashem, so to speak, would have rather been different in that framework alone. But ultimately, like based on the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, it's all in Kimono. No, like the primary consideration of the universe is the Chacham of the Bria. Primary in the Mishkan, it's not for a function of all the Gemara, it's there to teach us different ideas, and you have to group them, and they're identical. And what are they doing? They're teaching us. But in terms of the Bria, ultimately, this took precedence, the Chachma of the Bria, and it does create a deficiency, if you will, and that's brought to mind by the Kapara Lasha.
There's no perfect solution. It's not part of the plan.
Yes.
Surely that it's the act of will.
Yes.
Not necessity, and there's always
going to
have to be a
key. Yes, right. But by showing that it needs a kapara, it's kind of showing that it's not that way because intrinsically God's the moon, the sun is the game. But it's because there's no, the lesser of two evils, so to speak. But it's an evil, if you will, and therefore it's saying, so to speak, Hashem is bringing kapara. You know, and the Rashba learns, maybe related, not necessarily against this, but the Rashba learns is that by having like a monthly kapara, monthly car, but the kapara, he learns like this, that the existence of Klal Yisrael is, I mentioned this earlier, it's like the purpose of fuel of the Bria. And Klal Yisrael needs to exist. We can't exist for Chotem if we have Chet without kapara. And a monthly mechaper comes back through the moon, through the holiday built around the new moon. So thereby, at least for the Jews, the moon becomes prominent. Because our existence, and the existence of Klal Yisrael, and ultimately of the world, is enabled by the holiday built around the moon. So that's what he says, is that the sun, and this is how, in his framework, he learns that the Midas HaShva, Hashem, gave equal treatment to the sun and the moon. The sun has primacy in like the physical laws of nature, but the moon has primacy insofar as the existence of Klal Yisrael. Because like we exist because we have kapara, and every month, that's what he's saying. It's not a kapara. He doesn't learn that Hashem needs a kapara. He's saying like, it's a kapara that I am not. It's like you're bringing, forget exactly how he says it, but it's like the kapara, it's a kapara for Klal Yisrael, because he's Nemayat the Levana, because he made the moon small, so therefore he's like remedying it by making the moon big by having a monthly kapara built around the holiday of the moon. So that like gave the moon a focus. It's important. Every Jew knows that looks to Rosh Chodesh and feel for kapara. So now that brings up the moon in our eyes and thereby offsets.
Yes,
that's the part the Rashba isn't. That's the part I'm learning. See, Rashba's not learning that part. Yes, right. That Shehem Asim Mishnah Kamosa. Yeah. Klal Yisrael to the moon. Which is, and therefore, yes. Yeah, the Rashba. That's right. Klal Yisrael's existence is based upon the moon. And the Kapara of Klal Yisrael is based on the moon. That's part of his framework. But he's not learning. He doesn't have the part about the Avodah Zarah is not like that the moon is a more of a stumbling block to Avodah Zarah. That's the part I'm getting. I'm taking a part of what he's saying. But he's not learning that part, you know? So. But I'm just saying, I think what he's saying works well in this framework also, is that that's within the framework I'm setting up that, which again, that's why they're not mutually exclusive. He's saying, Midas HaShva is that he's learning it to be equal because it's a good Midah. I'm saying to be equal because that offsets the draw of a Zar. So, I think they both be true. You know, but since he's saying, insofar as the Midah of being equal treatment, he's saying this way they're equal because now the moon has major element in the existence of Klal Yisrael. But so I'm saying that also would help offset the, you could also say in this framework, and the frame I'm setting out is that the idea of offsetting the draw of the sun for Klal Yisrael, and whoever we teach the nations of the world, that now we see, you know, having the moon have that role helps equal draw the equal amount. But, yeah. Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Chodesh? Yeah, Tumah She'ein Bo Yediyah Lo Tzuyah Lo B'Sof. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one other thing. I don't know. One thought that crossed my mind this morning. I don't know. I didn't really research it at all, but I just thought I'd share. Which is that there's a minhag. I don't know if we do it, but I don't know who does it. But the saying the chaparas pasha in leap years, right? I don't know where that comes from. Does anyone know where that's from? The Grad not say it? I don't know. So I just thought it's a funny thing. Like you just on leap years, you have a different chaparas pasha. Like what is that? Right. So I just thought like on I don't know, just brought associated this, but you know, on leap years is the year where the sun gains power because the calendar. We have a lunar calendar. But on leap years, the sun impacts our calendar. And that's, you know, like in a certain sense, in those years, the sun gains prominence more so than the moon. So maybe that's more of a draw to the Avodah Zarah of the sun and the Kaparas Pasha. We need like a further Kapara in the leap years because of, you know.
Dominance.
What?
Acknowledge the dominance.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. The leap year is because, that's what I'm just to spell out. The reason why we have a leap year is because if you just have a solar calendar, then you're going to be missing. The seasons are going to shift 11 days each year, and eventually you're going to end up having Pesach in the middle of the winter, and it's going to end up Pesach has to be in the spring because Omer, whatever, all different things. So it's like in order to pay tribute to the sun, so to speak, to acknowledge the role of the sun, then why are we having to leave here this year? Because of the sun. So that's like in a certain sense playing into that, you know. So maybe that's why you need another kapara. I don't know. 12 expressions. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, and therefore 13 on that year? Oh.
Yeah, well, why that?
Yeah. You're right. So maybe it's saying also, so Lasid Lavo, it's a tefillah, and it's like ultimately Hashem will diminish, you know, make the moon great again. But it means that, and which is, we're already in this era where we move beyond this idea of the Zara of the sun and the moon and, you know, these types of things in general. So, but it's saying is Lasid Lavo, and the world, the smallness of the moon won't be a stumbling block. And people will look at the sun and the moon and the stars based on the framework of Chachma, which is taught the world by Klal Yisrael. And the world will recognize the greatness of Klal Yisrael and will recognize the Chachma of the way they would look at astronomy and astrology, if you will, to see the Chachma of Hashem in it. And they'll say, okay, the sun and the moon are just two different expressions of the laws of nature. And they're, you know, sun is just another typical star of just, you know, billions and billions of others, you know, something like that.
Just where?
But expressed the very last thing?
In the
mind? No, that's in the tefillah, like they say. That you're talking about Halmal, Saish Halmalot, Begima Salavan, I believe it's Shemiyat. No, one second, there's another one. I don't know, maybe it's not here. But there's a thing, it's like, change that steam, that's Kadish Kamosa. You know, it's in that. Right? That that Klal Yisrael is based on a Chazal. I forget where it is, but it's a Klal Yisrael will be Hashem will be mechadesh us like in mechadesh the moon. Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is right. The advantage of people of polytheism or of having multiple draws of your energies over one central God is that it's like it's not, you don't have the same attachment to any one thing. Thereby, you could take a step back and recognize them all as coming from one source, from God. But if you have just one powerful God, that's like your all your eggs are in that basket, you know? Right, you mean you have the sun would replace God. I mean, here, and since none of the, all the gods are as like a Kadosh Baruch, they all have limitations in their power. So when the sun goes to sleep, you need to look for some other God. But if the sun was like so overpowering over everything else, then you'd just be totally fixated on that. And then you'd never have a chance to pull away from it. Right. Make a point. So again, so this is just to clarify what I meant is that like I'm taking this obviously as a metaphor, but it's like in some sense actually talking about the sun and the moon and the creation of the sun and the moon and what the pasuk is referring to. There's a ratzon in the psukim being expressed of shnei maros gedola. Hashem wants to be shnei maros gedola. At the same, and in a sense, it did. Like the Askanim is saying, is the moon is Shnei Maros Gedolim. There is a pair, Shnei Maros Gedolim. But at the same time, it had to be a Maragad al Marakat. And the Medrash is filling out the nuances of the dual two aspects of the Bria of having Shnei Maros Gedolim and Maragad al Marakat. So it's like it is a metaphor, but it's hugging, if you will, or it's tied to the pshat, it's talking about the sun and the moon and the plan of Hashem's creating of the sun. Yes, exactly right. Exactly. The factors built in, which are expressed in the psukim. Like a commentary on the psukim and expressing.
Right,
the
argument.
Yes.
Set
up the sun. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So, what I was mentioning is that ultimately we're bringing the carbon. Because Hashem doesn't need the kapara. Ultimately, it's because of man. Like he says, the shotim shekelkalo, ultimately, we have the bechira to avoid this. So we have to have the kapara to realize that there is a mistake that we're going to make by seeing the smallness of the moon. And we realize, by recognizing that that's not the way it, so to speak, should have been, it helps us overcome that mistake. Yes. Yeah, good point. Yeah. The primary plan would be to Marasi Dolan. What I'm saying is because in some sense that's still true. Like there still are the two Marasi Dolan, but it's like optimally there's like a primacy, like that plan would, that could pull it off in terms of Chachma. And the future will ultimately be recognized as Marasi Dolan, but it had to be accommodated. So it's like depicting it as like the primary plan, but in some sense the primary plan is what actually happened. You know, and like the Olam Kimayano, it does end up taking, but like there is a framework in which that's the proper way to look at it. And that's the right way to look at it. Hashem was Olam, it's not really great, you know. But it's two different vehicles which Hashem uses, like, you know, to serve the Shaw, whatever, the Hadalin Yom Ben Laila, and Yom Shannon, right? Yeah.